The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you do not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. You guys want to come up for a children's sermon? I was going to zoom right by it. Words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. A 40-day vacation off the grid. No continual news loop. No messages from people who just need to figure it out on their own. No phone calls demanding payments for loans you don't have. Nobody to annoy you and have expectations on you. Just the simplicity of solitude. I don't know about you, but I could sure go for that right about now. 40 days of just me and God and the occasional wild animal. The fact there's no grocery store or restaurant nearby. The fact there's no medical facility in case something happens with said wild animals. But 40 days. What Jesus does, this being led into the wilderness, is not unusual. Jesus went off by himself a lot. However, he was usually found. People would follow him. Many people, even since before Christianity, would escape into the wilderness. And sure, some people would escape into the wilderness because they were running from something or someone. And sometimes people were out there because they got lost. But there are a good number of people that on purpose head out to the middle of nowhere for quiet. And some of you may be those people too. And what that nowhere looks like may vary from place to place because it can be surrounded by so many trees you can't even begin to count, or by tons of sand and water. I remember learning about poor first, Saint Anthony the Great. Saint Anthony the Great was born in the 3rd century to wealthy parents. That's not what makes me say, oh, poor Saint Anthony, but when Anthony was 20s, both of his parents died, and he was left with an incredible amount of wealth, and he decided to follow the Matthew 19 text, where Jesus says, sell everything you own and give the money to the poor. And he did just that. He got rid of all of the family lands and all of the family wealth, and he gave it to the poor and set off on a life devoted on focusing on God through prayer and fasting, and not be bound by the power of money. At one point, he finds an abandoned castle, and he decides to live there, and allows no one else to come in. Now, of course, there's the matter of food, and so there are local people who will throw food over the wall for him to have something to eat. But eventually, people hear about this, and they begin to arrive wanting to live a life of solitude. And more people arrive. See the irony in that statement? People want to be alone, so they move with a bunch of people to be by a guy who just wants to be alone. Poor Anthony. Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the desert for some time of fasting and reflection. And with all that Jesus has ahead of him, he's going to want this time. But quickly he realizes he's not alone. And this time apart isn't going to be quiet time. I chuckle at the trickster, the tempter, the devil. And we should all kind of chuckle at him, because he is not who he leads people to believe he is. He claims to have all of this authority. But if you notice in our text, Jesus is the one who's going to be doing all the work for the poor. And that doesn't happen anyways. The accuser, the trickster, is the one who stands before Jesus and tells him what he thinks Jesus should do. Jesus sees all of that. Jesus sees that all of this is about power and control. Satan has better ideas on how the world needs to run. And without Jesus even asking, the trickster begins to berate him. Here's the thing. Jesus is out there for 40 days of belittling and nagging and on and on. 40 days of hearing, I've got some great ideas for you. Probably the best ideas you've ever heard. 40 days of continual lies and power that Satan doesn't have, but he thinks he has. And that, I think, is where we can come in. Jesus was never tricked by the trickster. There was no, you know what, give me 5 minutes to think about this. I'm kind of overwhelmed right now, you know. The whole world being mine, well, let me think about that. Jesus sees the wrong and he's not going there. However, we can get stuck so easily. The trickster tells us things, and we begin to believe it. The trickster tells us things about our neighbors, the foreigners in our midst, and after a bunch of nagging, we begin to believe it. The trickster tells us who is important and who isn't, and we begin to believe it. The trickster tells us that he has the power, and somehow we believe it. The trickster tells us that the world is in his hands, the world is his to give, and somehow we believe that. I'm imagining sermons I've heard over the years of this text, and maybe I've preached this too. I didn't go back to look, because I don't want to know if I've preached this, but texts where we've heard preachers say, you know, you just need to hold strong, and then the trickster will disappear. Well, that's great, but for 40 days? And for some of us, it's longer. It doesn't work so well. Because there really are so many things in my head that have been manipulated by the trickster. Many of this comes from my whole life experience. Some of this in here comes from family and things I've heard said growing up. Things I've heard in the media. Things I've heard from people around me in the communities I've lived. You know, I always think my mother worked really hard at trying to convince me that deep down, everyone has something good in them. And as I got older, she would talk about how the world, the trickster, finds ways of changing that. But I also had my father on this side, who was not telling me that everybody has some good in them. In fact, he would tell me the opposite. And so even in my brain, in my early memory, I have mixed understandings of the world. Wealth, affluence, private jets, servants, it's all about success. And of course, we start to believe that God is all about success, right? Well, we might want to think about that. The world is set up for the wealthy to have all of the power. And how does that fit with our text today? Where is God in all of that power? Sometimes it's hard to see the trickster before us because he can manipulate in ways that have begun to feel and seem normal. Like things have always been that way. We've always treated those people that way. We've always talked that way. We've always behaved that way. We hear a world of hate that we used to question, and now it's every day. We watch the horrible treatment of fellow human beings, and we don't even give it a second glance. Think of the things that we see on the news that not long ago we would gasp, and now we're like, oh, that again? Another school shooting? Oh, there you go. The trickster is all around, and somehow we have decided to look the other way because, well, maybe the trickster is right. I imagine Jesus being in that wilderness and doing something that we can't and probably wouldn't ever do. It doesn't mean we don't love God. It just means the trickster has been given a place of power. But we need to remember that Jesus has always been and always will be more powerful than any old trickster. Satan has nothing on Jesus because God, our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer, won't back down ever to that trickster. Because God's love for us is so great. It's grace and a whole bunch of that. We have hope, people. Because God is with us. When the devil tries to mess with us, convince us, God is whispering those words into our ears. Love, love, love. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time.